This is Marisa Parson Davis, author of Bill Cosby is Right, But What Should the Church Be Doing About It? And you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Hi, everyone. This is Jason DeZurich, and so glad you are tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent tonight. Just really appreciate all that you are doing out there for the kingdom of God. And just go to donotkeepsilent.com for more information about what we're doing. Or you can go to our parent ministry, worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And we have a wonderful guest in today who is an author. His first book was called God, Israel, and Shiloh. He has extensive knowledge about terrorism, Israel, the U.S.-Israel relationship, and Israel's role in the world. And friends, I am very excited to just have as our guest David Rubin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Good to be with you.
Yeah, great. And we are so glad that you are with us. If you can, regarding Shiloh, I think that's probably where I want to start, is Shiloh itself, you know, why is this such a big deal?
Well, all you have to do is look around the United States. And you will find 65 cities and towns named Shiloh, and that doesn't even include schools and parks with the Shiloh name, and songs and Civil War battles and children of misguided movie stars. It just goes on and on. And so, where did those 65 cities and towns, etc., get their name from? It all comes from the original Shiloh, okay, we call it in Hebrew Shiloh, and it comes from that place where Joshua set up the tabernacle after the exodus from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, the 40 years in the desert, 14 years after the entry into the land, we came into Shiloh. Joshua set up the tabernacle in Shiloh, and he said to the children of Israel, "How long will you wait before coming to take possession of the land that the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" That is a fundamental commandment, not just for those times, but for our times as well. And the tabernacle stood in Shiloh 369 years, and it represented the birth of Israel, in fact, in the land of Israel, and the establishment as a nation in the land of Israel. The physical establishment, the political establishment, the geographic establishment, and the spiritual establishment, not necessarily in that order.
Okay. And I do appreciate you correcting me. It's Shiloh, not Shiloh. Is that correct?
Yeah, we actually put the accent on a second syllable. It's Shiloh.
Okay, all right.
But usually when I'm on the radio, I just say Shiloh so that Americans will understand. And, you know, people sometimes get on in the middle of the show.
Yep.
And say, if I'm just saying Shiloh, they don't know what I'm talking about. So,
I completely understand.
I can go either way.
All right, well, I do appreciate that. And, you know, if you can, you know, you've got basically what's going on there of helping the children of Israel, just a brighter future for the children of Israel. Can you explain what you're doing with this organization?
All right. Well, I'll first tell you how it started. I've been living in Israel for almost 20 years. I originally am from the United States. I grew up in the United States. And I grew up in a place called Brooklyn that you may have heard of.
Yep.
And they're in New York City, and that's where I grew up. But I've been living in Israel for about 20 years. I still consider myself to be an American patriot and an Israeli patriot. I don't see any contradiction between the two, because the United States was built on biblical foundations. So we have a kinship in that respect. So anyhow, I moved to Shiloh, and I became very involved in the life of the community, eventually getting elected as the mayor, which I served in for a couple of years, and then I moved on to other things. And one thing that happened about a year after I my term as mayor was up, I was coming back from Jerusalem with my three-year-old son buckled behind me in the baby seat, and suddenly the car was hit by a massive hail of bullets. The car went completely dead. Bullets were flying, and the terrorists were shooting from the right side on this dark country road, which is called the Road of the Patriarchs. And I saw four iron sparks in front of my eyes, and a bullet pierced into my left leg. Blood started coming out almost like an open fire hydrant.
Oh, my goodness.
And I quickly tried to start the car, shifting gears, park, drive, neutral, doing everything I could to get the car to start. It wasn't starting. It was almost as if it was completely dead. And but meanwhile, there's blood all over the place. And I remembered that I had my three-year-old sitting behind me. I turned him quickly, and he was very quiet, but I turned him, and his eyes were wide open. His mouth was wide open. He looked like he was trying to say something, to scream or to cry, but no sounds were coming out. So I turned around, and I tried to start the car again, and I figured my son being just in shock. So I just had to get away from the terrorists. That was the main thought in my head. I turned the ignition, I shifted gears, park, drive, neutral, trying everything I could to get the car to start, and it wasn't starting. Terrorists are still shooting. And then finally I took a deep breath, I hit the gas, I turned the ignition, and the car started as if it had never had a problem starting before. I drove nearly 120 miles an hour to get to the next community up the road, where I hoped I could get an ambulance. And the car managed to get there, no problem. And we get there, I start shouting for an ambulance. Gas station attendant came running up to the car. I ripped off my shirt, wrapped up my leg to stop the blood flow. And he said, I'm also a medic, I know what I'm doing. And he handed me his cell phone. He said, quick, call your wife. I couldn't dial. He dialed it for me. I spoke to my wife, and I said, I've been shot in the leg. Hopefully soon an ambulance will be coming to take me to the hospital. And Ruby, our son, name is Reuven, we call him Ruby for short.
Okay.
Ruby is okay. And so at that point, when I said those words, she said, okay, well, I'll try to get to the hospital somehow. And which was no simple task. Because there were always terrorist attacks on the roads. Well, I got to the hospital. I was pronounced the 1,000th victim of terrorism to be hospitalized in that hospital in that previous year and a half.
Wow.
And so the guy who told me that said the reason he's telling me this is because the media is amassed outside this emergency room. They want to interview the 1,000th victim of terrorism and photograph you and your son. And so I thought for a split second, I thought of all the terror victims that we knew, just from our own neighborhood. I said, no, you bring them in. I have what to say to them. And I've been telling this story ever since. And I tell the story not just because of our personal trauma. It's not just an opportunity for me to vent. And I tell it not because I have any political message to deliver, even though I certainly have my own opinions, like anyone.
Sure.
I tell a story because it's a story of miracles. I was shot in the left in the left leg, even though the terrorists were shooting from the right side, enabling me to drive my automatic car to get to the ambulance, because we use our right leg when we drive an automatic car.
Mm-hmm.
The bullet that went into my son's head, and I didn't even tell you this.
Yes.
My son had been shot in the head, and I didn't realize it at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And the bullet went into his head where the skull meets with the neck, causing a skull fracture and internal bleeding in the cerebellum. Well, when they... You know, they wrapped his head with bandages, put an oxygen mask on his face, and took him to the hospital with me. And I didn't realize until we got to the ambulance that was the case. So I neglected to tell you that. But the fact is, that the bullet missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. And so there was another miracle for you.
Absolutely.
And on the fifth day in the hospital, I get a call from the car mechanic telling me he doesn't know why they can't start the car. And I have a confession to make that after 30 years of believing in the God of Israel, I was totally flabbergasted and totally humbled because we were just lifted up on God's wings to get us to that ambulance. And so after that day, God had just given me a mission. I wasn't sure what that mission was, but no one goes through an experience like that without it being for a good reason.
Right.
And ultimately, I realized that what God had intended, what the terrorists had intended for evil, God had intended for good. And that's when I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund to build therapy centers and educational programs and to turn that evil of the terrorism into good, to turn the darkness into light for the children in the biblical heartland of Israel.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.